All right, today's reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, starting with verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then verse 13. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Bree. Good morning. Good to see you. A lot of great things are going on. It's been a great week. Who knows what tonight begins? Yes. Now listen. I talked to our incredible children's pastor, and she said that she will make room if you haven't signed your kids up yet, or if you have some grandkids that came into town. You can do that. Starts at 6:30 tonight. Okay, it's going to be great. Anybody that I'm talking to? Okay, just want to let you know, it's not too late. Good deal. Hey, God bless you. Glad to see you. We have been in a series all summer from the book of Judges. Now, how many of you have gone home and at least read through the book of Judges one time? I hope you have. If not, do it. We've got a few more weeks. Yes, those are actual biblical historical stories. Yes, God used those messed up people. Aren't you glad? Look at the person next to you and say, there's hope. There's hope for you. Okay? Because God is able to use any of us if we will hear His voice and start lining up with His plans for us. And so that's who we've talked to. I mean, from Ehud, you remember that guy? He's the guy that he was left-handed, and Pastor Craig kind of told us that that was a birth defect. I didn't know that, all you left-handed people. But anyway, God uses your uniquenesses. Remember that? God uses any of our uniquenesses to make things happen. He also had the story of Deborah. God will use women in ministry. Thank God. That's good. He uses women to do His will and work in people's lives. And then we have the opportunity, Mary and I are going to today, we're going to try to team teach and unpack a little bit more about the life of Gideon. Now, Gideon, I don't know, I identify with this guy more than any of them because he was willing to serve, but man, he just was not quick to pull the trigger. He had so many questions about so many different things, and God kept being patient with him. So I'm proud of that. Here's where we started last week, and I'm going to give you a quick catch-up. Really, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Lee was gracious to let us finish the story of Gideon, and so I appreciate that, Lee. But Gideon was hiding. The group that was attacking Israel at this time, you know, the cycle had been going on. They would sin. God would let them be judged. They would repent. God would raise up a deliverer, and then they'd have a season of prosperity, and then they'd backslide again. Well, this season, there's a guy named Gideon, and the enemy was from the nation of the Midians. The Midianites were oppressing them. And Gideon was this guy who was down in a wine press threshing out his wheat. That's not where you usually thresh out wheat, in a wine press. But he was hiding. He was scared. He was afraid. And so he was there trying to preserve his work. And while he was there, God spoke to him. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. And if y'all were here that week, he said this. He says, "Hail, O valiant warrior." And of course, Gideon's looking around wondering who this voice is talking to. And he says, "God is with you." And God gives him the incredible message. God is going to use you to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now, let me just tell you, it's kind of overwhelming. From that point on, the message that Mary and I have is going to be seen. He said, okay, but he was afraid. And I believe that's where all of us live. We have to obey even when we're afraid. And so we're gonna make that our point. So we said this, that God, you have to know God's with you. You have to say about yourself what God says about you. And like Gideon, example, you know, he worshiped. He submitted to God. He bent the knee of his heart. He actually built an altar and bowed down and said, "God, you're in control here. I'm not." But he submitted himself. And so that's the guy that we're going to be talking about today. And so let me tell you what God said first. God got his attention. God said, "Okay, I'm who I'm claiming to be." He was afraid. He said, "How do I know that?" So God did a little pretty amazing thing. Gideon had brought this offering out, and Gideon had set it down before him, and the angel of the Lord touched his staff to it, and it disappears, it vaporizes. And so it built a little faith in Gideon. And so Gideon said, okay, that was God. Kind of like one of us, we're getting started. Okay, let's good. Let's charge. This is going good. And he says, well, let's start with your own stuff. And so that night, God says, look, go tear down your dad's false altar to Baal. And tear down that totem pole sitting beside it. It was called an Asherah pole. It was a kind of a thing dedicated to the fertility gods. And so Gideon started by kind of cleaning up his own house, okay? But he did it afraid. Listen to what Scripture says. Here, we'll start right here. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. He tore down the altar and he tore down the Asherah pole. But he did it at night, say this with me, because he was afraid. Let's read it one more time. Because he was afraid. Can I just tell you right off the bat, get some hope. Get some hope in your heart that you don't have to be this super, super person before God can use you to influence your family, your community, your workplace, your school. God uses us right where we are, but we have to start. He was afraid. And next morning, it caught up with him. The people noticed that the altar was torn down and that in its place he had built an altar to God and he had also sacrificed a bull. Well, the remains of the bull were still on the altar and they said, who did this? They did a little research. They said it was Gideon. So they go to Gideon's dad's house and he says, listen, your son has to pay for this. He says, well, you used my bull. He's already paid for it. No, I mean, he's going to have to pay with his life. And he says, look, now I like this. See, Gideon's obedience prompted his dad to have to take a stand. Can I just tell you, some of you guys, listen, when you start obeying, you obey to please God, but your obedience will have impact on other people. So Gideon's obedience prompted his dad to take a stand. And so this is what he says. They said, bring out your son. We're going to put him to death. And he says, look, Joash shouted at the mob and says, why are you defending Baal? Why are you defending a false god? Let me tell you what. He could argue his own case. If Baal's really a god, let him take care of Gideon. But here's the thing. Now, this guy repented. He says, in fact, I'll tell you what. New day's coming, new sheriff's in town. In fact, you keep serving Baal, it's going to end up costing you your life. So he stirred up things. So here's what happened. He starts off afraid. He does it at night. The first step has happened in Gideon's change, in Gideon's call. He's blowing the trumpet. People are hearing the alarm. They're saying, hey, there's a new thing happening. So the message is going out. And God is starting to stir stuff. But I want you to say this. He did it while he was afraid. Will you say that with me? He did it while he was afraid. I'm going to ask Mary to come. And there's a couple more situations where the same message is right here. So come and unpack some more stuff. Hey, would y'all give her a little welcome, okay? This is a little nervous.
Good morning. Father, in Jesus' name, would you speak through this vessel? I need you like Gideon needs you. This is way beyond me. So would you be specific to every heart here with your word? In Jesus' name, amen. What I love about Gideon is that he was a very normal person. Amen. He had a task to do. Now, some of you go, yeah, but I'm not Gideon. I don't have a huge task to do. Can we say that's not going to be the everyday experience for all of us? But here's what the Word of God says in Psalms 37. Here is what, if you wonder, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? I don't know. Here's his prescription for you in Psalms 37, verses 3 and 4. Trust God and do good. Trust God and do good. Is it that simple? That was his command. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. dwell in the land. What that means is remain faithful in the word, remain faithful in prayer, feed on his faithfulness. Where do you start? You start at home. Trust God and do good. You've got strife going on in your home. You have to trust God to keep your mouth closed. Amen? How many of you know that that is a Gideon-sized task for some of us? If you have an argumentative spouse, praise the Lord. Iron sharpens iron. And we had a talk one night, and he said, why do we keep talking about this subject? And in my discernment, I said, because God is working something in you and out of you. And until you get it, we're going to talk about it. Now, that was the word of the Lord. But how many of you know the word of the Lord is a mirror? And you have to look at it and point it on you, right? So for those of you who are not in a Gideon-sized task worldwide, you have a task to trust God and do good. We're going to finish this story with verse 36 in chapter 6. This is what it says. Then Gideon said to God, if you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way. I will put a fleece on the ground. And the fleece is wet in the morning with the dew and the ground is dry, then I will know that you will really help me as you promised. 38. And that is just what happened. When Gideon got up early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece, it was like a towel, and it wrung out a whole bowl of water. But it was, well, did I pray that right? He said, Lord, okay, I see your faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in his faithfulness. And he said, but Lord, don't be angry with me. I need one more sign tonight. I'm going to put out the fleece, and if it's dry and everything else is wet, I will know it's you. This is so okay. I love that God is faithful with his doubting. He's patient. He's kind. He's merciful. He doesn't hit Gideon on the head and call him, names for not having faith. God meets us where we are. He knows our struggle. Think about this. When you were born, God had a plan for your life. He had a calling on your life. He knew all of your strengths, and we like to think God called us because of our strengths. Well, God knew all of your weaknesses, and he called you. He planned for you to be born. He set you in time. He put you in this place. He said, now go. And God knew all of our stupidity before we were ever born. Amen. And he still said, I have faith in you to do what I want done on this earth. That is so humbling to know that God puts trust in us to be able to come to him and say, can you help me do your will? What is his will? To do good on this earth, to reconcile the world to his love, to his grace, to his hope, to his healing, to his mercy. Through our good deeds, we glorify God. The word says they will see our good deeds, and then they will go away glorifying God, because we should be different than the culture. Amen. And so Gideon has this little prayer dialogue with the Lord. And so that night Gideon asked, and the fleece was dry. See, we would love to think that when we get an idea from the Lord or we get a stirring to do something, that it would look like we're the receiver at the end zone and the ball has been tossed. We've caught that ball at the end zone and we've run it all the way back down the field, dodging, touchdown. We would love for life to look like that. Or we would love, ladies, maybe to look like a gracious ballerina in the middle of a storm, but we just twirl and we don't miss any steps because we trust the Lord. Can I just tell you from my experience, it just looks like a really bad breakdance. It just, you know, I tumbleweed my way through a lot of things. And God is like, that's my girl. That's how I created her. I created her to wonder, to be afraid, because that pit in your stomach keeps you on the knee and go, God, oh God, I need you. So what is God calling you to do? I remember one time Daniel and I were watching TV. You know how you do, and here's your third hour of TV, and you're like, is this what life is about? And you know, and I go, oh. He's like, what? And I go, I'm going to write a book. He goes, you're going to write a what? I go, I'm going to write a book. He goes, you just got that right now. I go, yep, I just got that right now. I don't write very well. I don't spell very well, but I'm going to write a book on conversation. He goes, okay. I said, I'll see you later. So I went to my office, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what is this going to be? He goes, I want you to write a book. I felt these thoughts. I want a question book because people are on their phones, and I want a question book. So I want you to write 101 questions, and you can put them in a book, and then you can give them to families and give them to people who have a date night, and they just sit at the table and they don't talk. They can take this little book, and they can take it on a date, and they can talk and actually have a conversation with someone they've been married to for 20 years. And so I said, okay. So I developed these questions, and 3 days I had this book written. And then what? Well, now the hard part comes, because I don't know what to do. The Word of God says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he will give it due wisdom to you graciously. So I started asking God, what do I do? I didn't know what to do. I researched, I looked, and I talked, and I got a team of people who were smarter than I was, and we proofread, and we corrected my mistakes, and 3 days to write the book, a year and a half later, my book comes off the press. You know what? Go me. No. Go God. And look what I even did. God did this. Look at the big letters. Don't you love it? Yay. So it's on Amazon and people have bought it. And yes, the question is, do you make money? Yes, I've made a little bit of money. You know what? But this is the altar in the middle of the wilderness that God built. So when I look at this book, I can know God can do in me and through me what he wants me to do. Amen. He gives you ideas. I had a friend who, she worked in the corporate world, and she had 2 kids in elementary school, and her husband owned her own business. And she felt in her job, she felt the Lord really impress upon her, you need to quit this job. And you need to go home and raise the 2 girls I gave you. Whoa, that's huge. Because her job filled in the gap, you know what I'm saying? It bought the health insurance. It paid for the bills. And that's a step. That's a Gideon step. You move forward in trepidation. You move forward in wonder. And I was able to ask her, how did you feel? We were worried. I said, but what happened when you did? She said, we'd never missed a meal. We never missed a bill. Our family got closer. Our kids are still close today. We vacation with our adult kids. But her decision that she made to do it afraid, she and her husband ventured out into a territory that was unknown. And God will be faithful. The Word of God says, feed on his faithfulness. And delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, you know, a lot of us put pictures with our desires, but you know what the desire of most people's heart is? To have peace, to have joy, to be at rest, to not be anxious. And when you're walking with the Lord in His plan, that is the heart at rest, because you're trusting in the Lord. I remember, last story on this one, I was in a wilderness part of my life, and I went 11 hours to a women's conference, and I was at every altar call because I needed God desperately, and God met me there in a great way. And there was a speaker at this conference. She was a national speaker. We had a church of 170. I was in a church of 4,000 right there. She was a speaker who, she was on staff at a church of about 15,000 to 20,000 people, and her message impacted me. And I thought, man, I want to go back to our church, and I want to bring a women's conference. I'd never done a women's conference, you know, as pastor's wife, but never done one, never had one, didn't know how to do it. And I go, and I want Christy Sexton to come and speak. I'm like, how is that going to happen? You know, I am me and she is she, and she wears stilettos, I wear flats, and that doesn't even work, right? It's just what we think. And so I'm like, Lord, okay, if you'll make that happen, I'll let it happen. So I was in the restroom, and no one was in the restroom at a women's conference. That is a miracle in itself. And in walks Christy Sexton. And I'm like, oh, God, she's in the restroom. So I'm like, now's my time. Okay, Lord, please. So I did what every faith-filled great woman of God would do. I washed my hands, and I was waiting for her to come, and I'm like, I'm out of here. So I walked out of the bathroom, and I walked down. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, no, I can do this. Walked back in the restroom, and she's washed her hands, and I'm like, hi, I really liked your talk. And long story short, I asked her, would you ever come to a little church and do a conference? Oh, yes, I'd be happy to. And then, how much do you charge? She goes, it's your first conference. I'll come for free. I'm like, you'll come for free? And she wrote her email down, and we got in contact. Long story short, at that conference, I had three national speakers join me on stage. I had one speaker who had traveled the world speaking her story on stage at our little church. The speaker speaks the first service. It was Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. She speaks, and she goes, and so now I'm going to turn the program over to your pastor. That was me. And I tell you what, as God is my witness, I stood on stage and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I don't know. These women are coming expecting for their lives to be changed. And I've got nothing. Would you please? And I said, ladies, I don't know what God is going to do here, but He's going to do something. So, team, would you play? And as you feel God wants you to come forward, would you just fill the altar and pray? And I tell you what, at that conference, we had 120 women, and they began to come to the altar and come to the altar, and they began crying, and they began weeping, and there was nobody but me and God. And that's a good statement. And the Holy Spirit. And He started working and moving. And that was a beautiful 3 days. God sometimes calls you to do things and you don't know how you're going to do it. And you have to work it out with fear and trembling. The Word of God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's your freedom. And that's what the process of Gideon was doing. But here's what happens next. He gets these confirmations, and as the story continues, in chapter in the next few verses, he says, okay, God, we got this. We're going to defeat the Midianites. So he has a plan. We're going to gather an army because we're going to battle. 32,000 men show up to fight. And God says, no. No, Gideon, you've got too many people. I want you right off the bat to say, who is afraid here? Go home. 22,000 people left that day. And Gideon had 10,000 men still with him wanting to fight. And God said to Gideon, Gideon, this is not what I want. You still have too many people. I want you to put them to a test, and whoever is passes this test, these are your men. That story shows that out of the 10,000, 300 men were left. And so Gideon's like, okay, we got 300 men, thousands of men have left. What does that say to me? Guys, it says to me that not everyone who's with you now is going to be with you when you do what God wants you to do. It's going to say to me that not everyone who stands is meant to finish. If God calls you to have a prayer meeting for your teenagers while they're in high school and two people show up, that's a win. You don't quit because one person came. 300 is 0.09375% of 32,000 people. We get fixed on what looks like it's right in our own eyes. But God has a plan. See, his plan for Gideon was, and he said to him, if you go with all these people, then all these people are going to say, look what I did. And I do not want anybody to say, look what I did. I want everyone to know that I'm calling them into what they can't do, so I get the glory for what is done, because people are just vessels for God's kingdom. And that's where we have to realize, not my will, God, but your will. And we have to let him mold us. The culture says, if you don't do it like this, you failed. And we don't live in the culture of Christianity, of the culture. We live in the Word of God that says, God's ways are different than my ways. He may give you an idea to do something. You don't know how to do it. Trust God and do good. It finishes the story. And Gideon, in chapter 7, after he had dwindled down to 300 people, the army, that night he was ready to attack. But he was still afraid. And this is what the Lord says to Gideon in chapter 7. That night the Lord said, get up and go down into the Midian camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Pura and went down to the edge of the enemy's camp. The army of Midian, verse 12, Amalek and the people were there. They were settled in the valley like locusts. The camels were like grains of sand on the seashore. There were too many to count. 300 people against thousands and thousands and thousands of people. God said, I've already given you the victory. Verse 13, Gideon crept up just as a man from the enemy's camp was telling his companion about a dream he had had. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midian camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. The other man said, your dream can only mean one thing. Gideon, Gideon, God has given this to Gideon. the Israel victory over the Midianites, Gideon has been given that and all of his allies. There's a supernatural realm that when you are walking in obedience to God, that is working on your behalf. God stirs up dreams and visions, even in the enemy's camp, to prepare them for what is going to happen. What I love in this story is verse 10, where God says to Gideon, "But if you are afraid..." I mean, God had done so many things to confirm to him, "I am with you. I've got your back. I'm taking care of this." And we get that the very last moment, and God still knows, "Gideon, if you are still afraid, if you're still afraid, guy, take Pura." I love that. We need people in our lives who are going to stand by us in some of the hardest moments because we are afraid, because we doubt, because we need help. Warriors are not loners. Warriors are team people. You may not be Gideon, you may not be Pura, but you may be part of the 300 that God left, a little bit more than what we have here, to accomplish God's plan. It's not the point person, it's the plan of God that is moving forward. So who are you? Are you Gideon? Are you Pura? Or will you be one of the 300 people that just says, "I will trust God, I will do good, and I will delight and dwell in his will happening through me"? It may look like a bad breakdance, but at least I'm moving forward. I'm crying forward. I'm falling forward. I'm fighting forward. Our marriage, we're fighting forward. Our kids, we're talking it out. We're moving forward. I'm bringing the gospel into my workplace by making changes as a business owner for how we talk, what we listen to on the radio. Whatever God has told you to do, he is with you. He will help you. He will guide you. He will give you people to move. It's going to be good.
Thank you. I just want you, I didn't cut her mic off, okay? That one. So here's this. We've heard us. We've got a word. God's challenged us. We are natural. There's things that we're checking. We're wondering, is this really God? Is God? And God keeps confirming, affirming. And finally, God says, "Go down and listen to this enemy camp." What a story. He goes down and God has been giving the enemy dreams about Gideon coming and destroying them. How many know that might speak a little bit of fear into situations? But here's his response, though. In verse 15, it says this: "When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord." This is the second time in just a few verses where it says Gideon humbled himself before God and said, "God, God, Almighty God." See, he got convinced of how great God was in spite of who he was. So that's where it changed. But now I want you to hear the battle plan. We're going to take a few more minutes, and then we're going to have some application. It's going to be a lot of fun. Here's the battle plan that he heard while he was praying. Judges 7:16, three verses. It says he divided the 300 men into three groups. And listen to this weaponry. He gave each man a horn and a clay pot with a torch in it. How many of y'all ready to go to battle against thousands of enemy soldiers? You've got a horn, and you've got a clay pot, and you've got a torch. That's what God told him. He said, "Maybe I better pray again. I don't know." Then he said to him, "Keep your eyes on me, and when I come to the edge of the camp, do what I do." I would have been one of those, Gideon, it is dark. You know, I mean, how are we going to... He said, "Just follow my lead." And as soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout." Say shout.
Shout.
for the Lord and for Gideon. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard. So we know, you know, you're kind of in your first REM cycle. Okay, you're deep. When Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp, suddenly they blew the ram's horns and they broke the clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held up the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands, and they all shouted, "The sword of the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in panic, shouting as they ran to escape. Pandemonium broke out. I mean, things just broke out crazy. When the 300 Israelites kept blowing their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. And those who were not killed fled. How many of you know that sounds kind of supernatural? Now let me ask you this. We're going to have some horns here this morning, okay? So I'm going to ask Joey and Greg to come and take their positions, because here's what happened. You see, Ephesians chapter 6 gives us the example, because there's a verse we read a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again today. All of these stories in the book of Judges happened as examples for us. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. They're not just historical events that we can't relate to, but Scripture says, no, these happened as examples. And so from this historic story involving Gideon, there's a bridge that comes all the way over to Shelbyville, Indiana in 2024. And so that bridge is the application. And here's where we are. You see, guys, we're all fighting enemies. These cards that we read through and pray through every single month, we do it every single month, there's usually five different main topics, and they're all enemies. One of the first main topics is for people that we love to come to Christ, just to be saved, salvation. That's an enemy. The devil is an enemy, blinding the eyes of the people we love, trying to keep them away from Christ. Another enemy that we all face all the time is in the area of physical health. There's so many people, loved ones that we have, that are going through different battles of physical ailments and sickness and some cancers or some other mental illness, some other thing going on. But it's an enemy. It's an enemy. And then there's the areas of people being bound up. And it doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol alone. It's just tons of stuff, but deliverance. And then another topic of forgiveness. People just get bound up with unforgiveness and family strife and struggles. And then the last one, but boy, we can all say amen to this one, is our country, our church. Individually, we need personal revival. Can you say amen to that one? So here's what we're going to do. Y'all going to have some fun? You ready? Come on, just trust me for a moment. Would you stand with me? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to apply what Gideon did. Okay, Gideon, now you don't have anything to break, so don't break anything. But you do have the ability to say the word of God and to shout. And that's what we're going to do this morning. It's going to be fun. It's going to be different. So here's what I'm going to do. The first topic is salvation. I'm going to read two verses. See, Ephesians 6 says that this is the sword of the Lord. Scripture is the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Spirit. And so what Gideon shouted, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read some verses. You're going to read with me. Then our trumpets are going to sound, and you're going to get little hairs jumping up on your arms. That's okay. But what you're going to do, we're going to declare, this word of the Lord be applied to these people we're praying for. That's what we're saying today. We want the Word of God to be applied in the lives of everyone here, but in these prayer requests. That's the only way God intervenes, is through His Word being applied in their lives. Can you say amen to this? All right, we're going to practice. All right, here we go. First one may be a little weaker, but you're going to get better, okay? So I want you to read these verses. And I'll say it one more time. We're going to read these verses on salvation. We're going to all read them together. And then we're going to hear a trumpet blast. And then you're going to shout, the sword of the Lord, and you put your name in there. Your prayer request. Can we do it? Here we go. Put those first verses up. 2 Peter 3:9. I want you to read with me out loud, everyone. 2 Peter 3:9. Here's what Scripture says about those people you're praying for. Read with me. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Another verse, Romans 10:13 says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now shout it out. The sword of the Lord and Daniel. Very good. How about healing? One of the biggest ones here is for healing. Psalm 103 verses 1 through 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Verse 2 of 3 John says, beloved, I pray in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Now shout out, the sword of the Lord. And Daniel, say your name. Deliverance. How many of you know somebody, or maybe it's you this morning? I got a little hair bumps on here. How many of you know somebody needs to be set free from something? Or like Mary told, confessed my sins, set free to do something. We all do. Read with me on this area. 1 John chapter 3. Read it real loud. For the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. But the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. The sword of the Lord. Praise God, and it's good, this is fun. We need forgiveness, all of us. Even though we're born again and saved and for eternity, still when we sin, God's Word says, if you confess your sin, well, I'm going to read, here we go. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 6:12 and 14. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. The sword of the Lord. Lastly, we all need revival. Can you say amen to that? Listen, all you got to do is watch the news a little bit and know that our country needs revival. God wants to give us revival, but it starts with us. And so here's where He says, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Read it to everyone. And if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. The sword of the Lord and Daniel. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap? Thank you, trumpeters. Thank you. Here's where God says as we close in prayer. Guys, we are all in battles together. Now, we know that in Christ Jesus, Scripture promises we have a victory. One day we'll see Jesus face to face. But guys, we're still on earth, right? And while you're on earth, you're going to have battles. You're going to have contests. You're going to have conflicts. And God says this, even while you're afraid, obey. When I prompt you, obey. When I ask you, I'll quote Mary's confession of my sin, when God's working something in you, Obey. When God's working something out of you, obey. Even if you're afraid. And here's what happens. We keep walking together. We're walking toward Christ. We're walking toward revival. Can you say amen? God is at work. He's so good. He's so good. Father God, I thank you that your word is settled in heaven. And Lord, it never is sent to the earth unless it accomplishes the thing that you have appointed it to do. It brings life. It brings conviction. It brings assurance. It brings healing. It brings change. And Lord, we say, here we are, Lord. We're your servants. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you. And we need each other. So God, we submit to you even like Gideon did. And we bow the knees of our hearts. And we say, God, keep speaking to us. Keep speaking. Will you say that out loud? Lord, keep speaking to me. Keep speaking to us. And give us the grace to say yes and to step out even when we're afraid. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen.